I don't know if I have voiced my disdain, displeasure for this particular thing that I'll get to in a second that you guys will be able to know it off the top of my head. Like, there's some things I know you guys know about me that you'll jump on it right away. Do you know the thing that bothers me the most on a golf course? Have I mentioned it enough to you guys to...
Speed of play?
I was going to say yes.
Slow. Okay, good. But that's exactly the right answer. Speed, pace of play, the people in front of me being too slow, and I get it from my dad, who's a lunatic, who cannot tolerate slow plays.
He's like the nicest guy in the world, and that's what triggers him.
I've seen my dad genuinely angry like five times in the 52 years I've been alive.
Can I tell you something funny? The people that have, like, they're the nicest people. Everyone has that one or two triggers of, okay, that's going to get you. That's your pops.
I've seen my dad mad five times in 50 years. I think four of them were on a golf course because the people in front of him were going too slow. So that's what I'm talking about. Go to play golf yesterday. And our tee time is at 8:50 in the morning. Okay, so we pull up to the first tee at about 8:45, right? Then the group in front of us is at 8:40. The group before them is at 8:30. It's every 10 minutes. These guys are still on the first tee, haven't hit a shot, and there's nobody in front of them.
Oof.
So they're just chopping it up, having a hell of a time, laughing. One guy's giving another guy swing tips on the first tee. I'm like, oh, my God, this is going to be a disaster.
Question. Golf etiquette.
Yes.
Can you ask to go in front of them?
No. They have to invite you to go in front of them to a point.
Okay.
If it gets worse from here, then maybe you could say, hey, guys, do you mind if we go through? Because you can see the golf course. You can see there's
sure.
three holes open
sure.
in front of them.
Sure.
There's and it's Sunday morning. Like, they let's go.
Of course.
So we wait out the first hole. The first hole should take 12 minutes. It probably took 25. Mm. It's like, uh-oh, this is going to be a problem. We go to the second hole. Same kind of deal. They're still kind of on the first tee when we get there. Go slightly faster, but we're waiting in the fairway. They're on the green. My buddy and I look at each other like, what is that on the green? What is that? Is that a cat? And I'm like, it can't be. He didn't bring a cat to the damn golf course. He's like, no, Trav, I think that's a cat. And all of a sudden, you see an animal run across the green. And we're like, okay, it could be a feral cat that's just kind of out there and
yeah.
freaking out. They brought a cat.
Come on.
They had a cat carrier with them in the back of the golf cart. They brought a cat to the golf course.
I think they're trying to troll you, bro.
And it's like, okay, so how do we call the thing? Do we go up there and say, hey, guys, you know, what's going on with the cat? You know, can we get in front of you? They brought a cat. To the golf course in a
cage, in a cat carrier thing
that they would bring to the green with them, open it, the cat would run around the green, and then somehow they would entice the cat back into the box. The cat would get in the box and they'd move to the next hole. It was insane.
The hell is going on here?
You guys didn't see the cat in the first hole?
So, no, but we were on the putting green before, and my buddy heard that group say, hey, you got your cart? Okay, meet us at the first tee. I'm going to go pick up, you know, Mondo or whatever it is.
Felix.
And we're like, all right, maybe the guy's
Felix
late.
Felix is the right cat. Yeah.
They went to get the cat. Like, look, not that I've ever done this before, but occasionally you like to bring your own beer to the golf course. And
right.
maybe, you know, you can't just walk through the front door with it. You got to set it up so you can drive back to your
Do
cart and get it.
Do people bring dogs to golf courses?
That's next.
Not that I've ever seen.
That's next.
But I sure as hell had never seen a cat in a cat carrier in the
hell,
middle of
weird.
A golf course. It was bizarre.
So did you approach anybody that worked there? Like,
no,
did they get
caught? We just kind of rode it out for about, and then for whatever reason, I don't know if the cat got bored or whatever,
sped
they
up.
Started going a lot faster.
Okay.
Not okay.
You got that.
You can't bring the cat.
No, you can't bring a cat, but I'd be more annoyed that I got
to
wait every
A cat year. To the
That's
golf course. You know where you bring the cat? To your house and to the vet. Those are the two places you bring the cat. Everywhere else, the cat stays home.
That is such a pre-planned, very weird thing. Like,
that's
you
very
have
weird.
To have the cat carry. Like, why
oh, it was
they...
a plan. To, so we were having this conversation.
You have to walk a cat.
That's very weird.
Who's more at fault? The guy that brought the cat or his three buddies that allowed him to bring the cat?
The three buddies.
I think so, too.
Yep, the three buddies.
I think they're all equally idiots.
No, because you could say, look, Dave... We're not interested if the cat's coming. Like, sorry, buddy, but we're not cat golfing
out of town,
today.
I got to bring the cat. What?
Then you can't play
to
golf
bring
that
the cat.
Day.
The cats are very fine at home. Cats are.
That's the one of the most random stories you've ever told
Brought
us.
Brought a
and
cat.
I'm shocked you waited 2 hours and 5 minutes to tell us.
I had it written up here on my page. I'd forgotten about it until I saw it.
But yeah, it's not a dog. You don't have to walk a cat. You don't have to feed a
that
cat
makes no
like,
sense.
The same way. Like,
in Jorge's point, if they. Well, man, I got to take care of the cat. Then you don't play golf that day.
Right.
You stay home.
So, question: what do you guys do as you guys are waiting for the for these guys to like?
It took us a while to figure out for sure that it was a cat. Like, we're like, that can't be it. Like, is it a remote control car? Like, what is happening out there? There's the idea that it was a
just
cat.
Far enough that you can't.
Yeah,
and the fact that you're like nobody brought a cat.
Nobody brought a
to
cat.
The golf course.
Yeah, they brought a cat.
I guess my question is, somebody's waiting for you guys to advance, right?
Yep.
So you're waiting for those knuckleheads to kind of get going. But okay, they're still in the first hole. You guys finish, I mean, they're on whatever hole. You guys finish your hole. What are you doing between? That way you don't get rushed.
We're on their tail the whole time, right? Like, we're trying to push them. Like
trying to
basically
indicate,
just,
like,
yes,
let's go.
We're trying to go. Yeah. But now we got people stacked up behind us,
right.
And the group behind us comes up, and my buddy's like, yeah, it's not us. The group in front of us has a cat. And the guy's like, a cat? Yeah. And the guy goes, how much if I get the cat? Like, if I hit the cat with my shot? And we're like, I don't know. Knock yourself out. Cat on the golf
That's
course.
Wow.
Stupid. When the 5 o'clock whistle blows, be sure to be locked into the LA Afternoon Drive Takeover for the Tito's Vodka 5 o'clock Cappy Hour. Tito's Handmade Vodka. Simple, smooth, and every sip as easy as the last. Tito's Handmade Vodka tastes just as good with tap water as it does with your favorite mixer. Don't miss the Tito Vodka 5 o'clock Cappy Hour this afternoon at 5 on 710. Is that why we have all the...
That's why it's here.
Merch.
Sister's going to be a big listener to the Cappy Hour if it involves some Tito's vodka.
Yeah. Is that a prop or is that a gift? I'm thinking gift to me.
feel free to take it.
So the Nuggets lost their opener. They're game two tonight, right? Anthony Edwards was unreal.
Yeah. You know how old he is?
23? 22. Okay. Yeah, I knew he was young.
To remind, somebody said something, I don't know, I forget what broadcast it was. It was one of the post games. I think after they played the Suns, somebody's like, yeah, you know, he's in his early 20s. He's like 22. This is one to remind everybody. I'm only 22 years old.
Luka's older than him.
Yeah.
Watching that game and seeing how good and by the way, they weren't scared to go in against the defending champs. They weren't scared to deal with the 3-time MVP. They're just like, yeah, what? We're here to kick your ass, right?
It's an interesting matchup.
And they did. Mm-hmm. If they beat Denver, mm-hmm. if they go to the Western Conference Finals, if they beat whoever comes out of the OKC or Dallas, right? They're in the finals. Maybe they win a championship, right? That would be so far ahead of schedule. We already know Dallas, how good they are. We know that OKC is young and way ahead of schedule. What if all of a sudden Minnesota's in there? Like, I can't help but look at this through the prism of where the Lakers fall in the grand scheme of things, and they keep getting pushed further and further down. Not just that, oh, well, we ran into Denver. Yeah, well, Denver could get beat by Minnesota, so what does that mean for you?
I'm going to circle back to the Lakers in a quick second, okay? Watching the Lakers versus the Nuggets, the one thing that you could say is, all right, Denver didn't play that well. Jamal Murray looked like he was injured.
Hurt, yeah.
Except when he needed to make big buckets right. And score 32 in game five, hit 5 threes. But the other glaring thing, and I think it's a thing we kept talking about, was I don't think that team is as good as they were a year ago. The bench is not nearly as good. They don't have a bench. They lost Bruce Brown, Jeff Green. They lost a couple key players. So they got guys coming off the bench that are kind of non-factors for the Denver Nuggets.
Yep.
Okay, wait. So let me understand this. So this year's Nuggets team is not as good as it was a year ago.
Doesn't look like it so far.
You still lost 4-1. Here comes Minnesota. And the Timberwolves, if you've watched any of the Minnesota Timberwolves, they got the sixth man of the year. Forget Anthony Edwards for a second. They got the sixth man of the year. They got really, really good role players that just kind of understand their role. They go about 8-9 deep.
Huge.
Okay, what does the starting lineup look like? Karl Anthony Towns can give you 25 any given night. Rudy Gobert is a defensive player of the year in most years. And I'm still not going to talk about Anthony Edwards yet. Mike Conley is just a vet's vet that, you know what's come up a lot in these last couple of days when Darvin Ham got fired? It was, you know, the Lakers could have got Mike Conley. They could have went and traded for Mike Conley rather than D'Angelo Russell, kind of a vet's vet, a player that you would think would be better to try to win right now. And then they have arguably the best player left in the playoffs in Anthony Edwards.
He might be.
If he's not, that's okay.
He's not third.
Yeah, I was going to say, you want to put Jokic, Luka, and then put Anthony Edwards, fine. Do it in any order that you want. Yeah. You want to put Tatum there, that's fine. Put
him
fourth.
He's better than Tatum.
But I think the point that I'm trying to make is, and I think you're pointing out as well, so wait a minute. If the Denver Nuggets, even if Denver and Minnesota have a series and it goes seven games or something like that, basically what you're saying is there's a team potentially as good as the Denver Nuggets. So I think what you said about, well, what's that pecking order look like? Well, that's just another team. That's just another obstacle. That's just another hurdle on top of all the other hurdles that
you already have. Well, the pecking order goes as – let me back up a little bit. Your ranking, as I'm looking at this, is predicated on your best player, right? The best players on these teams are Luka Doncic, who's in his early to mid-20s, Anthony Edwards, who's 22 years old. Shea, who's real, and Chet, like they got two of them, right? They got two of those guys. Jokic and Murray are both on the right side of 30 years old. Those are
haven't entered their prime yet.
No, and so we're still on the ascent with these guys. And then the other best players on the Clippers, on the Lakers, on the Warriors, on these other teams, and on the Phoenix Suns.
Injuries, all 21 years in the NBA.
It's getting wider and wider. And you watch these guys like, okay, maybe the Lakers get a more favorable draw and you get Sacramento or you get the Clippers or something. Okay, great. That's good. But there is no more good draw after that. They're all bad draws.
Yeah, think about what you're asking for, right? Then basically what you're saying is the inevitable is going to happen either in the first round or the second round.
Right.
That's what you're asking for. That you're praying that I get a favorable matchup early on. Do I think if the Lakers got the Thunder in the first round, I think the Lakers would have been favorites.
Maybe.
Just purely because of the size, the matchup, and everything else.
Yeah.
Well, second round, you're probably going to get the Dallas Mavericks. Western Conference Finals, you probably have Minnesota or Denver waiting for you. As in, this path of we want to avoid teams to go as far as we can, is that a championship path?
Of course they're not.
It's not.
And Oklahoma City, regardless of what happens in this and that, win or lose, they're going to have gone through two or three or maybe even four rounds of playoffs. You don't think that that team's going to be a whole hell of a lot better next year?
Of course.
That they're going to be a lot better matchup for or worse matchup for the Lakers? Because I agree with you. The OKC was the one that's like, you know, I don't hate that. Okay, let's see what that looks like. I don't know how that's going to feel next year. Is Shea going to be better next year than this year? Yeah. Is Chet? Yeah.
Is OKC going to say Denver, Lakers, and Minnesota are all bigger than us? Let's use one of our 38 draft picks and go get another big man. Let's find a big man in the league that's available.
Jokic better? Yeah. Murray better? Yeah. Edwards better? Yeah. Wembanyama better? Yeah. Zion better? Maybe. If he can get his weight under control and all the other things that come along with that. Is LeBron James going to be better next year than last year? I don't know.
Better not be.
I mean, my goodness, if he is. Anthony Davis, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not.
And so a coach would fix all this?
That's what I'm saying. Steph Curry, better? Probably not. Kevin Durant, probably not.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I actually don't even hesitate on those. They can't.
Luka, better? Probably.
Yeah.
You're getting further away.
Guys are walking into their prime or a couple years away from it, and you're just distancing yourself further from it.
And what's crazy is there doesn't seem to be a way to kickstart it. Now, hopefully somebody somewhere shakes loose, right? Somebody says, you know what? I don't want to be in Milwaukee anymore. I'm Giannis or whatever. Okay, that's the shortcut back to the top of the list.
Yeah, that might be the only path right now that they're waiting for.
These guys are
hoping for.
It doesn't work, and it ends up like the Suns, which, again, Kevin Durant shook loose. And then they thought, oh, we got Kevin Durant. We're solid. We're going to be competitors for a long time.
Well, remember,
Beal
came after Kevin Durant.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like that you put him in the same category with those other guys. It still bothers me.
I don't. No, you're not wrong, but they gave up even more draft capital for Bradley Beal.
That
was their third. That was the third player.
Yeah, that didn't work out. And now they're just dead in the water. They don't have any picks. They don't have any options. And everyone else is getting better. Oh, that's true. They did say that they're fine.
Again, with all this stuff that we just said, how the divide is there, a coach is going to fix this for the Lakers?
It can maybe help a little. It can maybe be innovative. It can maybe be different. And the Clippers, by the way, are in the exact same spot.
I think to answer that question, Em, I don't think Darvin was going to fix it. So I think just the fact and the idea of saying, let's use a different coach.
Let's just say, and I know that he's old and disinterested. Let's just say Phil Jackson said, you know what, I want one more shot. I don't even think Phil Jackson fixes this. That's what I mean. I don't think that there's a, hey, get the, who's the best coach in the league? Eric Spoelstra?
Sure.
Steve Kerr? Take your wildest dream and plug. The teams, they don't have enough. The other teams have better, younger, ascending guys. Your best guys are descending, hopefully not a ton.
Sure.
And there's not enough of them. They're in a tough spot, and watching Denver and Minnesota tonight, just kind of compare what you're looking at and what we just saw last week. It's very, very different. And then there's the Clipper portion of it. What in the world do they do? That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
I'm not going to lie, Al.
Yo.
You going to Arrowhead in the middle of the night, arriving at your destination only to find somebody
turning
else in the condo, and then just turning around and driving home is... It might be my favorite thing I know about you right now. It's very high on the list. It's a pretty remarkable story.
Pull up, hour and a half, take a look.
Okay.
From looks the like time, it's not available. Turn back around.
From the time you realized there's someone else in that condo to you are heading back down the mountain, 10 minutes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 10 minutes. 10 minutes. Where, a couple calls, you know.
Where'd you make the sandwich? Before the descent?
Yes, before the descent in Lake Arrowhead at the gas station before you start going back down.
Oh, so you put that's where I got you stopped at the gas to gas up, or just to eat?
No, just to have a breather and get some food out of the trunk.
Did Michelle have a sandwich?
She did not have a sandwich.
She was still not in the mood to have a sandwich.
No, she did crackers and cheese and other stuff. She was having like a
charcuterie
full
board
yeah,
in
she
there.
She was having a whole picnic over there. She was good to go. She had no issues sitting in the driver's seat. She did offer to drive. I'm like, not right now. I needed to keep myself distracted.
Let's go around the room here, Jorge. Whose fault is this? Like, is it no? It could it literally be nobody's fault that you played the percentages and it just you crapped out.
I have the answer.
Okay,
but you guys could.
Jorge, who's like, and I'm not saying it's all this person's fault, but who's mostly at fault?
Michelle's parents.
Okay,
because they left town, they could have said, "Hey, by the way, you guys are planning on going up there. Somebody's gonna be up there."
Okay.
I think it's Michelle because the parents don't owe necessarily to say, hey, this is every person that's coming. I think it's Michelle who's using her parents' house as a nice thing and for not checking ahead of time, more ahead of time than before they went out of town. So I think it's
Al,
that.
You go.
I think it's 51-49 on Michelle and then 49% on the parents for if they're leaving the country. You said they're out of the country?
Yeah.
If they're leaving the country, mm-hmm. That's one of those, hey, we're going to be out of touch. Just so you know, the cabin is being used on this date. But it's more on Michelle for not getting the, hey, is it clear? 100% as opposed to 95%.
Did they know that Michelle was looking to use the house?
No, they had no idea. That's why they have nothing to do
with it. So you guys just roll up there whenever you guys want? Is that how it works?
Yeah. We'll give them a heads up.
See, that's what I mean.
That we are going. It's definitely not on her parents. Her parents did nothing wrong. They did it.
Okay. They didn't do anything wrong, mm-hmm. But when we're assessing blame.
Yeah, by the way, we gave such and such the keys.
I know you guys go occasionally. We're going to be out of touch. We just want to let you know that.
Let's say we didn't.
Nancy's got the keys. You know?
Right. We don't go up enough to where they had to, like, that should be on their mind.
Okay.
Like, that's not their that shouldn't be okay. their concern.
Okay.
And if I'm putting the blame, I'm going to give 5% of the blame to Michelle.
Okay.
Her parents get 0% of the blame. And that was just bad luck, bad circumstance. Like, I'm not even mad at her. I was at the time because I just drove an hour and a half in fog. But ultimately, I was not.
No, I'm with you on that. That's one of those, I don't know who's in there.
I know people are in there.
Yeah, I don't know who it is. Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
And what am I
going
to say?
Yeah. You knock on the door. Oh, hey, Carmen, can I use the restroom?
So here's a wrinkle, too. So what if, God forbid, something happens at the condo? Wouldn't the parents want to tell you, hey, just in case something happened, a mishap happens, XYZ is staying at the house this past week and this upcoming weekend. We will be out of touch. So we will be out of reach. If they have a problem, they can call you.
Ah, interesting.
Could be. Yeah.
Maybe that's interesting. Next time, kind of thing.
If there's a second residence.
There was a lesson to be learned this weekend.
The lesson is, if it's not like it, you should know this. You've heard me say this 100 times. Until it's done, it's not done. Hey, we're at the 1 yard line. This is going to happen next week. All we need is signatures.
Yeah,
we're good. Yeah, great. Is it done? Do you have the PO? Not yet, but he tells me he's going to. Okay, it's not done. It's literally not even close to being done.
Sure.
It's either.
That part is 100%.
It's binary. It's either done or it's not. You either have a thumbs up that the place is empty, or it's not.
It's true.
Right?
Yeah, that part's true. I mean, again, the chances of that happening, well, now it will never happen again.
Lesson silver lining, right?
Lesson learned.
Now you're going to confirm? Or are you going to trust her or are you going to confirm it?
Oh, I'm confirmed.
Yeah, I'll take that
We're all confirmed now. I got to see the text. Yeah. Put the phone on speaker.
You were good to go? Yep. Can
call
I see
again.
It?
Can
show
I
me
see
the
it?
Keys. No.
Yeah. Yeah. There needs to be like a
calendar.
Yes. A shared calendar for just the Big Bear
you're
House.
Right about that. You're right.
Don't forget, you're going to want to vote on the biggest night of the year for ESPN LA. Of course, it is Mandy's 3. Go to ESPNLA.com and click on the Mandy's 3 voting page logo presented by the Law Offices of Joseph S. Normand. Injury attorneys you can trust. 213-747-2000. Vote right now at ESPNLA.com. And we want to make sure that M gets her first Mandy. Well-deserved for sure. So go there right now. Vote for her. Call your friends. Tell them to vote for her. And then you can tell them to vote for Jorge after that and leave me and Al out of it. Right?
I think that literally fits us perfectly. That ad right there was perfect.
That's not bad. It's not too bad. Okay, we spent a lot of time talking about the Lakers. Obviously, they're going to hire a new coach. I'm, by the way, firmly in Team JJ Redick camp because
I get that.
Why the hell not?
Yeah,
Kenny Atkinson would be like, yeah, okay, fine.
Seen it already. Know what that's going
to
bring.
This is the one of the last remaining like roads to travel. The inexperienced former player, TV guy, podcast host. Let it rip.
Here's the one difference I'll say. If we had the same conversation when Frank Vogel was getting hired, then we would be with a coach that's inexperienced. Here's the difference. That team had a roster.
You're really good.
In 2019-2020. Yep. So I think if you told me right now, hypothetically, the Lakers had that type of a roster, and we kind of already knew, like, oh my gosh, like you got that many bigs, you got that many vets, you got that many young players that are kind of up and coming, I would say, no, get me a coach that kind of has been in this predicament before. But that roster right now, I have that roster compared to the other rosters in the Western Conference. I'm okay with that. I'm okay if it's JJ.
Are we overthinking it? Is it as simple as if that's who LeBron wants, that's what's going to happen? Because they're collaborating on a podcast. They obviously have a good relationship. There's a level of respect between the two of them. And if he's in the meetings advocating for JJ Redick, and say, or maybe not even like banging his hand on the table saying, Redick, but just, hey guys, I'm just here to tell you that I think JJ Redick would be a great fit. What do you guys think? Aren't we done at that point?
Are you asking? It's funny.
I mean, conversation not over?
But do you agree with that? Do you agree that if LeBron wants that,
I'm
go
not
get
saying
with-
it's a perfect plan. It's not, because there's a whole bunch of very obvious problems with it, namely that LeBron's going into year 22.
If your question is, if that's what LeBron wants, do they do it? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
If the other question was, if that's what LeBron wants,
that's a different
are you
question.
Accommodating to that?
Yeah.
They are.
They
but
are.
Is that the right thing to do?
I think that's it. That what will they do and what should they do is different. If LeBron does that, because if LeBron suggests, hey, you know who I think might be kind of cool? J.J. Redick. What I don't think is going, yeah, he's not ready for this job. Let's talk about some other guys. They're not doing that.
Yeah.
I don't think. They're not doing that. LeBron, he's never coached. He's on the broadcast team. I know you like him. I know he's a friend of yours. I know he's, you know, knows best, but we can't. We just did the first time head coach. At least that guy had been assistant in the league. We just can't walk down that road again. Who else do you like? I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening either. I don't think it's happening the entire offseason. I think whatever it is, player-wise, coaching, he's sitting there with his player option, and that's going to obviously, he's going to hold that against him, even though I don't think he's going anywhere.
They're clearly not going to wean themselves off of LeBron James. And we could argue whether or not they should. At this point, I don't think he should, because there's no better option out there, right? He's still a really good player.
He was great in the playoffs.
He was terrific. So it's not like, no, go here instead of there. It's like, it's either here or just wait around until then. So let's just stay here, right? Why not? He's still really, really good. But they've just always said yes, yes, yes. Or at the very least, it's not yeah, but wait around. This is not perfect, but just sit tight. It'll be more perfect in a few months. It's coming. What about the Clips? They have, for 5 years, had Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. They made it to the Western Conference Finals once, and Kawhi Leonard was not a part of it.
That's
Paul
right.
George went
yeah.
off. Mm-hmm. Kawhi has basically been unavailable for the majority of the time that he's played for the Clippers. Paul George is getting up there. James Harden is a free agent. You're locked into Kawhi. You re-signed him. There are no options there. Ty Lue's one of the best coaches in the league, according to consensus, and you're probably going to make him a long-term godfather offer. What do you do to try to elevate to that OKC, Minnesota, Denver level? How do you get on that level? Dallas, who just beat you in six games.
So I don't think you have a choice of this. I think you'd rather have, and this is just strictly contract purposes, you want assets. I don't want to see D'Angelo Russell back on the Lakers, but they're better off re-signing him so they have him as an asset. Because it's not like that $18.5 million that he doesn't pick up in the player option. Oh, we have $18.5 to go spend in the market. That's not how it works, especially teams that are over the cap or the luxury tax. I think for the Clippers, Kawhi was arguably going to be the biggest question mark of if you bring him back because of his injuries. Now you're hoping Kawhi just gets healthy, and you don't really have any data that's going to tell you that he is. You can't let Paul George just walk and go to the Orlando Magic or the
Sixers,
or pick whatever team that you want. Again, because you can't just replace Paul. You just lost an asset that you don't have, so you're better off having Paul George under your roof and then figuring out by the trade deadline or in a year from now what you're going to do. Harden is the one.
But even with, stick with George for a second. Okay. Like, he's been in the league a long time. I think he's played 14 seasons. Okay, he's going to get a big deal. Somebody's going to pay him, and he's still a really, really good player. But if we're talking like another 3-year deal, and what's the new max? $60 million? Something crazy like that? Mm-hmm. Do you really? I understand that
the
you're allocating.
Yes, I think
really.
Yes.
Even if you know that having him really doesn't change the bottom line of how far you're going to go.
Okay, then if that was the case, then you should have been talking about, and the idea and the concept should have been, well, are we rebuilding this thing?
Yeah.
Well, they weren't rebuilding.
Not with the Kawhi thing.
Not with the Kawhi thing, they weren't rebuilding. They also didn't want to rebuild because they're going into a new arena. I get what you
well,
said
maybe
about...
Well, he doesn't want to be there too. Well, that's the other part.
That's the question I would ask more. Does PG want to sign up with the Clippers again? He's been there for 5 years, like you mentioned. What we're going to remember in this 5 years, and unfortunately this has followed the Clippers brand forever, is this is a complete failure.
Yes.
They never got to the NBA Finals. Shai Gilgeous is one of the best young players in the NBA. You gave him up and all those draft picks for Paul George. So I think they're stuck, and they're stuck in the sense of if you have an opportunity to bring somebody back that's currently a part of your roster, that's an all-star caliber player, you have to bring them back. In this world, you have to bring them back.
If it's up to them exclusively, but it's not.
If it's up to Paul George,
yeah.
And you told me, all right, think of the other places
Don't you
Paul
want
George
one more
go
good
to.
Shot to win? Right, like to really make a run
PG?
In the playoffs. Yes. If I've played 14 years, he got kind of close in Indiana. He was okay. And I'm talking about his performance. I'm talking about the team. OKC was mostly good, but, you know, they're never really a threat
no,
to win the
threat.
Whole thing.
Yeah.
The Clippers, They got to the conference finals, and it was more just because he went off for a period of time, but they were really never a threat to win a title.
They're also going to be remembered as up 3-1 against Denver and blowing that 3-1 lead.
So do you not want one? The money's coming regardless. I'm going to get the same money here as I'm going to get over there, or very, very close to it. Go play with Joel Embiid. Go catch a up-and-coming Orlando team with a guy like Paolo, who's going to be a big star in this league. Like, does that not one more good run at it somewhere else? I already know what this run is. This guy here, I know he's awesome. He never plays. I just never know if he's going to be here or not. It's really hard to plan for somebody who's never around. And I have no idea why it would be different.
The only thing I think will keep Paul George here is if he just wants to stay in Southern California, doesn't want to go anywhere else, doesn't want to reroute or uplift his family and say, okay, now we're going to move somewhere else. I think that's the only thing. Because from a basketball perspective, what have they shown over the last 5 years that gives you confidence?
Same old.
And the same conversation you're having about the Lakers is the same conversation you could have about the Clippers. Young, up-and-coming teams, up-and-coming stars walking into their prime. These teams are only finding themselves further back. So is Phoenix, so are the Warriors, so are the Lakers, and so are the Clippers.
They're all in the same boat. And that top is getting higher and higher and higher. Hot and Cold's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. It's getting close. We're getting close to summer, which means you're going to start running your air conditioner. That's why you got to call NextGen. NextGen is the official AC heat and plumbing company of SoCal sports fans. They've got thousands of five-star reviews online to prove it. I've seen it with my own eyes. We've had NextGen out to the house. I've been to the NextGen headquarters in Anaheim, and the way that they take care of their customers is absolutely bananas. They make sure you get what you want when you want, and quick, too. And it's going to be hot. You're going to be running that AC. Why not make sure that you get the 28-point full heat and AC safety inspection and tune-up for just $44. That's right, just $44 to ensure your system is running strong all year long, and they're going to throw in a free air filter at no extra charge. 833-3-NEXTGEN. That's the number, 833-3-NEXGEN. And it includes water, plumbing, heater, AC safety inspections, so why not prioritize the safety of your loved ones at home? That's 833-3-NEXTGEN, 833-3-NEXTGEN. NEXGEN or nextgenaaronplumbing.com to schedule online.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Boy, it's time for What's Cold. And What's Cold is coming out of retirement. And it's not only because of who was the subject of the greatest roast of all time yesterday. Wait, let me hear from Julian Edelman about Tom Brady one more time.
Who's laughing now, Tom? Not you, because your face can't move and you don't have a sense of humor.
All right,
that's a good joke.
Just wanted to do one more Julian Edelman drop right there. But coming out of retirement is hot because J.J. Watt told reporters this. He says, I am a very fortunate man, a lucky man. I have a beautiful wife. I have a beautiful son. I've had 12 great years in this league, and I'm very thankful to have walked away healthy and playing great. But, he goes on to continue, I told D'Amico Ryans last year, don't call me unless you absolutely need it, but if you ever do call, I'll be there. And he knows not to call unless he absolutely needs it, and this is the first last year I'll tell him that, because I'm not going to keep training the way I've been training. So, J.J. Watt's been like, if anybody needs me.
Right.
Basically the Houston Texans.
Might as well just buy an ad like a billboard.
He wants to play
on the freeway.
He wants to play.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that if they needed him, they would have already talked to him about it. I think that JJ's time is done with the league.
I think that's exactly right. This is I wanted to play, and the league told me thanks, but no thanks. Specifically, the Texans. And I'm sure the Texans can never publicly tell J.J. Watt, stay home, not interested.
Sure,
that's
sure.
Just bad PR, because he's one of the great players in the history of that organization. He's one of the great players in the history of the league. He's wildly popular in Houston. He raised like $20 million for hurricane relief. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's, by all accounts, he's a pretty good guy.
Yeah.
If they needed him, they would have asked.
Yep.
It, you know what I mean? Like,
this is more of a plea.
Yes.
The Texans are good.
They are good.
I read that article too, and the whole time reading, I'm like, geez, can you be any more
thirsty.
He's like begging somebody call. Like, hey, I keep looking at my phone. Did somebody just try to call? No.
This is the argument for stay until they kick you out of the league, right? Don't leave until they until there's literally your dust on your phone. And they're like, no, it's not, nobody wants me. Okay, cool. Because at some point, I think for the vast majority of athletes,
the realization—if you
left
of,
a little bit of meat on the bone, you're going to want to go back and eat it later, and you might not get a chance to do it. So eat all the meat while you can.
And the important part of that quote too is that he's like been quote unquote training and staying in shape. And I think the 1 year out is the limit of the staying in shape.
I think you're right.
So like Aaron Donald, if he was called week 16, hey Aaron, would you be interested in joining the team for the last little run there? I think that works. But I think if it's 2 years from now or even the following season, I don't think it's the same way.
I don't disagree.
All right, so now it's time for what's cold. What's cold is sumo wrestling. Okay, so Michael Parsons, I guess, is
awesome.
Going international right now, but he is going 1v1 versus a 17-year-old sumo wrestler. Okay, so Michael Parsons is one of the fiercest linemen in the NFL right now, one of the best defensive players
as
in
Chris
the league.
Would say, one of the fiercest linebackers to ever play the game.
Yeah. Exactly. And he is just getting demolished by this 17-year-old sumo wrestler. I guess not demolished, but they are quite evenly matched, and you would think that Michael Parsons would be destroying this guy. So do you believe that, like, I don't know, is sumo wrestlers, should they play football?
Do we know how much that kid weighs? Does it say?
Does not say how much he weighs, but I would say high twos, if not in the three.
Yeah. So those guys are immovable. they are gigantic human beings that are very athletic despite being really big guys. And if they don't want to move, you're not moving them. It's as simple as that. Yeah. I don't know. I think you'd have to learn how to play football from scratch.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and learn the footwork and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but when it just comes to you are trying to move me and I don't want to go anywhere, that guy's going to devour a football player.
Is he offensive lineman?
It's not a – I get the idea and the concept. Hey, look what he's doing. Look what this sumo wrestler is doing. He's only 17 years old. I think once you it's almost like seeing somebody that – here's a boxer. Here's somebody who's in MMA.
Yeah.
Okay, but if he gets you to the ground, it's game over, right? I think there's certain sports where it looks like, I think if you took a sumo wrestler and you put him on a line, an offensive line, they're going to be like, well, what the hell did we just grab? It's just he's in that territory. Can they be taught? That's interesting, but
You've been in Japan twice.
Yeah.
Did you ever go to a sumo match?
No, I wish I did, no.
Yeah.
It was actually off-season one of the times I was there, and then I think another time it was in a different part of the country.
I would like – that's one of those things like to see up close. That looks fascinating. I don't understand even what I'm looking at, but it's fascinating.
I also like that the sumo wrestler did a too-small gesture to Michael
Head
Parsons.
Head tap. You're little, bro.
Yeah, too small, Michael Parsons. Again, Michael Parsons, one of the fiercest defensive players in the game.
There was we'll do rabbit hole tomorrow, but I'll explain it real quick. There was a YouTube channel where they were just following sumo wrestlers, and it was one guy specifically they were following, and he is talking about what he eats during a day, like throughout a day. And it was so fascinating because this guy's process of what he was making, he's making this like big stew that had meat and vegetables and everything else, but he makes it from scratch every single day he makes it. And here he is, just huge guy. He's sweating in the kitchen because of the steam coming from the soup. And this is like his day-to-day, and he's freaking very healthy food,
Was it Michael Phelps that had that crazy diet where he's consuming like 12,000 calories
McDonald's
a day?
Or something like that.
Just fuel, just another, like dozens of eggs
of
and bacon and all. That would be fun. I'm having a sushi roll for Albertsons once a day and desperately trying not to walk down the cookie aisle. It's very, very challenging. The Dump is coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Next Gen, the official AC heat and plumbing company of SoCal sports fans. That's who brought you Who's Hot and Who's Cold. Call 833-3-NEXTGEN. That's 833-3-NEXGEN or visit nextgenaaronplumbing.com. Some good celebrity birthdays today. We've got George Clooney, who turns 63. He lives in Lake Como in Italy, which seems pretty nice. Seems like he's got a pretty good life put together for himself.
Was George Clooney the only Batman with nipples, as Mason says it?
I believe he was.
He was, right?
I believe he was. So we've had Michael Keaton. We've had Clooney. We've
Christian
had
Christian Bale.
Christian Bale. Affleck was a Batman.
And the Twilight guy.
And the Twilight guy. Robert Pattinson. Yeah, I think only George Clooney was with nipples. Yeah, the nipple suit. I would think that, I mean, look, I get that the suit is tight fitting, but I feel like you don't need to make a compartment for that. I feel like we're okay otherwise.
I'm the Batman.
You like the Batman movies?
Yeah, Dark Knight is my
That's good. My
favorite.
The Nolan trilogy.
Oh, yeah, those are cool.
Yes.
Dark Knight's great, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I really like Batman Begins. I think that's a cool movie. Like, where his backstory, where he's in the Himalayas doing
Ra's
all
al-Ghul?
That. Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
I mean, that's a very hot take to have Batman Begins be your favorite of that trilogy.
Is it?
It's an incredibly hot take.
Why?
Because everyone says Dark Knight
is... Oh, no, I like Dark Knight. It's great.
So I'm your favorite of that trilogy?
Yeah.
Because, like, Dark Knight is...
I don't think I saw the third one.
Most people's number one movie of all time.
I liked it. It's cool. I like Heath Ledger was great. I'm not dumping on that one. I'm just saying I like that other one better.
That is an incredibly hot take.
Okay. I didn't even know that.
Come at me. Tell him.
Come at me.
You're a hot taker.
I never saw the third one either, so that's how much I enjoyed the
movie. And
Hathaway's
in it. She plays Catwoman.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Missed it.
And Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays...
You're going to end up watching it tonight.
Robin?
Unlikely. Bueller tonight, Slee. Bueller tonight. Chris Paul, happy 39th to him. He didn't look a day over 69 playing for the Warriors.
Shuts out.
Is he still under contract or was this the final year? I think this was the final year.
Talk for a second. I'm going to look.
No, I think it was the final year. And I kept asking myself, he has a non-guaranteed $30 million contract next year.
Yep.
Is that what it is? So,
this dude's
okay.
Still in the league?
Well, okay. Look, the Warrior thing was a bad idea. It didn't work out. That goes without saying.
I still never understood that. They traded. Maybe it was just to get rid of the other contract that they had.
Is he done? Like, does he go do TV? Does he go do something else? Or is there a role for him somewhere else to where he's, you know, obviously not a starter. He's not an impactful guy as far as, like, okay, playing 35 minutes a night. But could he mentor a younger player? Could he spell somebody?
I was just going to say.
Next coach of the Lakers?
Let's go.
Do you want him on your team? Okay. Let me
which
explain.
Team?
Let me explain which team. Do you want him on a team that's young and contending just to be there? If I said that he's going to go to the Oklahoma City Thunder, do you want him there?
No.
I don't either. Only spot I want him in.
A place like in Orlando where I don't need you to do a ton. I need you to play 20 minutes a night. Kind of just show these guys what NBA basketball and we're going to kind of meant. I don't need you to be a great player. I need you to be a great leader.
So like Vince Carter on his way out like that?
But
maybe a little more than Carter. Okay.
Orlando's more interesting because I know they're not going to compete for a championship. But I don't even know if I want him on that team. Yeah. I think I want him on like a Charlotte team. I want him where... Can you help me out? I got a couple of these guards here that I would like them to. I'd like you to teach them how to be a professional, whatever it is. But I don't want him on a team that's competing. I don't want him on a team that's contending. Because then, now all of a sudden, is it a weird thing? He thinks he should be getting play. I don't want him in that situation.
He's got to know his role. He's got to know that. Look, you are here to supplement, to not be a part of what we're doing night in and night out. We're going to call on you occasionally. But you're here to whisper in that guy's ear when he comes off the floor for a couple of minutes to say, hey, listen, just maybe next time we try it a little bit like, hey, when I was one of the best players in the league, that sometimes this would work for me. Now that you're one of the best players in the league, maybe you could, you know, something like that. Not 3-2-1, I got the ball in my hands and I'm making the decision. That's way gone. But having him around, he's a really smart player. He did a thing which was, as a small guy, to survive in the league and thrive in the league the way that he did, he obviously knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I always got confused once Lakers beat the Warriors last year in the playoffs because they were bigger and stronger. And in the offseason, the Warriors went and got older and smaller.
It was an interesting choice.
I always ask Michael. I'm like, Michael,
they're zagging.
To me? I know Jordan. I think they just wanted out of the Jordan Poole contract, which is why they did it.
Yeah, that was untenable.
So on this day in 1997, the Hartford Whalers became the Carolina Hurricanes. And I lived in Connecticut for 2.5 years, and I lived in Hartford. Those people would not let go of the Hartford Whalers thing. Okay, so there are houses with flags that still say the Hartford Whalers. It's the most popular hat to wear in Hartford. Again, Hartford doesn't have a lot. They don't have any other professional teams. Nowhere else in Connecticut. They can only really root for Connecticut basketball teams and such. But, like, it's also, like, not just a Hartford thing. It's, like, everyone, like, around the country, you might see a Hartford Whalers hat around
there.
Well,
it's such a great logo.
It's a great logo.
Yeah.
But give it up, Hartford.
So jeez. I'll tell you a quick story. One of my buddies, Sean Pendergast, who is a talk show host in Houston, longtime friend of mine. Maybe if you're a Jim Rome person and you know my background, you know Sean as the Cablin Asian, longtime Smack-Off winner, has carved out an incredible career for himself as a host in Houston. He grew up in Connecticut. He went to school at Notre Dame. And he and one of his buddies did a day trip from South Bend to Chicago to go watch the Cubs play one day. They're in Wrigleyville, right outside the stadium. And they're having a few beers and whatever. And Brendan Shanahan, who was either a player or an executive for the Hartford Whalers when they moved from Hartford to Carolina, they see Brendan Shanahan in a bar. Okay. My buddy Sean's friend, I think his name was John, I can't remember, tried to pick a fight with an NHL player because he felt that he was responsible for getting the Whalers down to Carolina. And as they're being separated in the bar, he screams at Brendan Shanahan, "The blood of the Hartford Whalers is on your hands, Shanahan!" And that's how much they care about it. That he would have gotten destroyed by this guy, and he wanted to let him know that you're the reason that the Hartford Whalers are no longer in Hartford and in Carolina. The blood of the Hartford Whalers is on your hands, Shanahan. How much they care. Those people.
Yeah,
Whaler
those
fans.
People. But it's been 27 years, guys.
When somebody steals your baby, Emily, you don't get over it.
It's different, but I'll never get over the Chargers leaving San Diego.
Why is it different?
If I saw Dean in a bar, I'm probably saying the same thing. The blood on...
The blood of the San Diego.
Would you have a San Diego Chargers flag in front of your house?
No.
Prominent? See, again, that's the whole thing. It's like these people's houses, they have Hartford Whalers flag. They have Hartford Whalers stickers. They have Hartford Whalers hats. What gives? I don't know. That was one of the weirdest things.
2004, the Friends finale took place on this date. I've seen a lot of episodes of Friends. I'm indifferent. I don't hate it. I don't love it. It's not my favorite show. I have no I'm sure I saw it. I have no recollection of the finale. What was it?
I don't remember it either.
Monica and Chandler announced they're moving out of New York, that they're going to move to the suburbs, basically. Sure, maybe Hartford, maybe somewhere
else.
Yeah, those people. I sound a little bit like Momo there with the...
a little bit.
But, yeah, so Monica and Chandler are moving to the suburbs. Rachel is going to work in Paris. And Ross chases after her at the airport, goes to the wrong airport, and then like, oh no, they missed it. And then she comes back to the door, spoiler, she goes, "I got off the plane." And they're like, "You got off the plane." And so they're together, they leave the house. Anyway, so
what happens to Joey? Who cares?
Those people.
Yeah. Lisa Kudrow marries Paul Rudd.
Okay.
I don't know.
Were you a Friends guy, Ireland?
My wife is huge friend, so it was on in my house all the time. I thought it was good.
Today was the anniversary of the finale from 20 years ago, and I have zero recollection of it.
If you told me what happened in that episode,
she just laid it out.
I
got off the plane.
They're making a little. What is it? Jennifer Aniston's doing the commercials with Uber Eats.
Seen
all those?
Those are funny.
Yeah,
she's fine.
I'm a
big
fan.
What do you mean fine?
I need to. More than she's maybe number one, maybe number two behind Jennifer Connelly.
Don't say that around Scott Kaplan.
Yeah, no, she's
Scott. She's Scott Kaplan's number one.
It's a good show. She's probably 1A for me behind Jennifer Connelly.
That's a strong number one choice.
Is there a number one in the Ireland household?
Oh, you know who it is.
Is it Lohan?
No, God no.
Kate Beckinsale.
There you go.
Yeah, I did know. That.
Like by a mile.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah,
I get that. You know what we should do, Jorge? A little super crosstalk. Bonk. Woo! Oh, Parker filling in for the role of Steve Mason with the woo today.
Mason's around somewhere.
I saw him. He's around. He'll be here in a second. Yeah. So I got one for
His
you.
His beverage is here.
Okay.
you and I share a lot of similarities, in
yes,
particular
we do.
When it comes to
I've
golf.
I've often said if you threw me into, one day the question came of you have to live with someone at 7'10". I said, you're the only one I could live with. Because you and I have similar habits.
We have similar habits and similar interests, I think. Right. One of those interests is golf.
Right.
I heard this.
This is good. John
so
has
random.
Not heard this.
Very
so
weird.
Random.
So my number one pet peeve on a golf course is slow play.
Me too.
Right. It's just the worst.
And by the way, the main reason more than any other that I joined a club, because the public rounds were just taking 5-6 hours.
It'd take forever.
Yeah.
So I have an 8:50 yesterday morning.
Okay.
Okay. So we pull up to the first tee, 8:45, expecting to see the 8:40 either in the fairway or on the green.
Of course.
They're still on the first tee. Nobody's even taking a club out of their bag, and there's nobody on the hole, John. It's wide open.
And they're just talking?
They're chopping it up. One guy's giving another guy a lesson on the first tee, and we're like, oh, boy.
Now, why don't you just – I heard the whole story, but why don't you just jump in and say, hey, guys,
no,
we're going to play through.
Hey, he took you right to the place I want to go. Just say, hey, guys.
Can I jump in front?
We're in a little bit of a hurry. I can see you guys aren't. Do you mind if we go?
Probably should have.
Did you think about
that? Not yet. I'm thinking maybe they don't see us. Maybe it's just a bad start.
Ireland, do
you
know the twist in this story?
No, I don't know anything about it.
It's good.
So it takes them to play the first hole at the golf course we're at. Should take about 12 minutes. It took them probably closer to 25.
Okay.
Takes a long time.
Lock in. Come on. That's what I would have said.
So we get to the second hole. And it's taken a little bit of a long time, and finally the group in front of us gets to the green, and we're in the middle of the fairway, and my buddy looks at me and he says, what is that on the green? And I'm looking, I can't really tell what it is, and he goes, I think that's a cat. And he, I said,
there's a cat on the green?
It's not a cat. And he goes, no, Trav, I think that's a cat.
Come on.
And I'm looking, and all of a sudden it takes off running.
Ooh.
And you can tell that it's a cat.
Like a house cat?
I'm thinking maybe there's a feral cat on a golf course.
Right.
Could be.
Right,
like it's out there chasing lizards and snakes.
Some wild cat. Yeah, it's a wild cat.
All of a sudden, you look, hey, what's that over on the side of the green by the bunker?
It's a litter box.
It's and my buddy Brad's like, I think that's a cat carrier.
Oh, yeah, cat carrier.
And they did something. All of a sudden, the cat stops and runs back into the cat carrier.
Wow, well-trained cat.
They brought the cat with them?
The carrier, put it in the back of the little basket in the golf cart.
Cat gets a little
They
fresh
brought
air.
A cat with them to the golf course.
Nice. Cat needs...
Never heard of that.
Cat needs some fresh air?
Ever.
Bring him in his little house
you did two
to play
things
golf.
At once. You could golf
Let
and
him
bring
run
your
around
cat.
The green.
Did you just play behind these guys the whole round?
So at about the eighth hole, they, for some reason, decided to start playing at a normal speed, and they were fine. But they had a cat, which brings me to this question.
Mm-hmm.
Whose fault is it? Cat owner or the three people that allowed cat owner to bring the cat?
Cat owner 75-25% to the other
guys. I mean, the cat owner is the main, he's the one that decided, I'm going to bring my cat in my cat house to the
But these guys were friends. You could tell by the way they were interacting. They all knew each other. These were not three guys that got paired up with a solo guy that brought his cat. So they signed off on playing with cat guy.
Sure.
That's worse.
Well, did they know? They knew each other, right?
Yeah, but you could say if the four of us are playing, and you're cat guy in this analogy,
right?
And like, hey, I got an 850. Oh, cool. I'll bring Pedro. Pedro's the cat.
Oh, okay.
If I say maybe Felix, really not feeling Pedro at this. I just want to play golf.
Yeah,
I'm making the choice to play with Pedro at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
But maybe Pedro plays all the time.
Yeah, I'm out on
maybe
cat guy.
Maybe he goes for every match that this guy goes to play.
Carrier.
Do you know of a Pedro cat? Or is
Pedro
that
the cat.
That might be the first one.
Yeah, that's what I'd name if I had a cat, I'd name it Pedro.
Pedro. Vote for Pedro.
One time I was on a father-son golf trip in Canada, and we're up in Vancouver. And my buddy and I are on the tee, and we look out. And I'm not exaggerating. There is a grizzly bear in the fairway.
Ooh, cool.
And I'm like, but pretty far out, like probably 250, 300 yards out. And I'm like,
jeez.
Well, what do we do? It's like the sixth hole. Do we just like
run
keep playing or whatever? And right when we're trying to figure that out, the marshal pulls up in a cart. And I go, hey, man, there's a bear in the fairway. And the guy looks at me without any pretension or anything. And he goes, do you have a red collar or a blue collar? I look out there and I take my range finder.
Yeah, yeah.
I go, it's blue. He goes, hit away. He goes, you see the one with the red collar? hightail it back to the clubs.
And I go, what is the blue one trained?
The blue one is apparently one was friendly.
Yeah.
The red one, not so much. I went, you guys, are they here every day? And he's like, no, they just show up whenever they want.
Okay. Well, I just saw a story on the local news that says there's bears out everywhere now.
Yeah, they come down from the foothills.
Yeah, there's bears, and we've got, apparently it's coyote season. Yeah. A lot of coyotes out there right now.
Red or blue collars on them?
They all have red collars. They're all red collars. You see a coyote, red collar.
One day, Trav, I was playing a mountain gate, and I'm on a green that's kind of elevated, and I'm looking down into the second fairway. And this guy tees off. It's a perfect shot right down the middle. But he's on a blind tee box. So he hits this drive, and it's perfect. And I see this baby coyote come off the mountain, looks around to see if anyone's looking at him, puts the golf ball in his mouth, runs back up the mountain.
No!
And me and my friend Danny are like, do we tell the guy? And so we go, we got to tell him. I go, this is never going to happen again in our lifetime. So we divert, go back to where they're coming down, and I go, I got good news and bad news. And the guy goes, what's the good news? I go, you hit a perfect drive right down the middle. He goes, what's the bad news? I go, it's now up there on the mountain. So, Trav, what's the ruling there?
I think you have to play it where it lies.
But it's now lying on top of the mountain out of bounds.
You got a chip from the top of the
mountain. I got to drop and hit three?
Lost ball, right?
No, I'm playing with you. And we had a witness, I would say you could drop it where it was.
100%. But I think the letter of the law is it's a lost ball, right? Yeah. And if you can't identify it, I think you might even have to go back to the team.
Again. Not doing that.
So tell me if I'm making something out of nothing here, because that might be the case, but it bothers me a great deal.
Okay.
Saturday night, Max Muncy hits three home runs.
Yes.
He doesn't play the next day because he had a scheduled off day.
Scheduled day off.
He had a scheduled day off. I know that the pitcher for the Braves.
You have stumbled into something that I feel very strongly about. Go ahead.
Baseball is about getting hot, staying hot for as long as possible. Right. Muncy's on one. Three home runs on Saturday night. I know Max Fried's a nasty left-hander.
You know what Max Muncy is lifetime against
Three
for nine with a home run. He can. He's actually hit home runs off.
Trav, you are 100% right to be outraged. This is Slee, what Michael rants about. D'Angelo Russell comes out and hits five threes in the first quarter. Okay? Five for five. Second quarter starts, he's not out there. And I'm like, what happened? Well, this is the time where he normally takes a break. And Michael said, Ireland, let me tell you something. You don't get tired when you're hot.
Of course not.
And he's right. Mm-hmm. There's no way you sit Max Muncy in that scenario.
John, I gave an example to him. Listening to you and Michael, it was the Lakers-Warriors game. And remember, this was just recently. Clay gets off to a great start in the first quarter.
And they sit him.
And Michael says, called it. Michael says, don't worry, Laker fans. Steve Kerr is going to bench him. And he ends up benching him.
Yeah, the amount of NBA coaches that do that is stunning. And it's no different in baseball. Why would you sit him?
It's an inability to adapt is what it is. In your case, I've got my rotations. I'm going to stick with my rotations no matter what. It's a scheduled day off. He's going to have a scheduled day off no matter what. Even though he's hit this guy before, and he's coming off a three home run game.
It's this devotion to the algorithm or to the plan. That's like, okay, cool, I get it. The reason you win 100 games every year is because your plan's really good. But don't you have to kind of watch what happens day to day to make some decisions in the moment?
This, by the way, is what was the divide between Joe Maddon and the Angels. You know, that ended badly. Joe was their bench coach for like 20 years. Joe wanted to manage on feel, and the front office wanted to manage on analytics, so they agreed to kind of meet in the middle, but the feel went out the window. Like, I've seen Joe completely if a guy, let's say he's in a doubleheader, and then the first game the guy hits three home runs, Joel hit him leadoff in the second game.
Of course.
You know, just to get him more
at bats. But there's a reason why Joe's not managing.
Because he
doesn't fit the mold of guys that they're looking for now.
Are there any managers that would do something different in that spot? Or is every manager right now in baseball doing the same thing?
Handed down by the front office. It's a day off. He probably knew it was coming for a week.
Fine. We'll give you one against the Marlins on Monday.
Right.
We'll get you the rest, just not today.
Does it matter, by the way, that they won and it worked and the Kike made – by the way, that one play Kike made at third base was spectacular.
Incredible play.
The throw was like on the dot.
To me, it doesn't matter. I'm glad they won. Shohei hit a couple. It was great. And they won. Cool. I'm glad they won. I'm glad he got his rest. My point is, what's one more day?
Yeah.
Because what if he hits a couple more? Right. What if that's so the difference in
right.
the game?
The other thing is, don't you want him against the Braves as opposed to the Marlins on a Monday?
Yeah, really good point.
And it's representative to me of the larger issue of what the Dodgers have done in the postseason. I get it. Over the course of 6 months, making strategic decisions based on the math will pay off more often than it won't.
Yes.
Okay? But we got to beat the Braves tonight. What if that was game two of a best of seven series, the NLCS, and Muncy goes deep three times in game two, but Fried's pitching game three, he's not playing the next day? That's insane to me.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's not smart.
Totally
it's
legitimate gripe.
Yep.
Now, how many of you guys watched the roast?
I've watched a good chunk of it.
I watched a lot. I never saw the finish. I never saw Brady kind
of
come back at people.
I saw some of the clips.
But Ireland had the very interesting take on Friday that they would not mention Giselle. Giselle was off.
And
wrong.
By the way, yeah. 10 seconds in, the Giselle choice. You know, the only person that was off limits, as it turns out, was Kraft.
Yeah, well, they weighed the one about the massage parlor.
Well, why is that not a fair game? Everything else
be.
Is.
See what Brady got up and said, knock that blank off. Don't do that again. And then they kind of self-corrected. But other than that.
Do you think that was scripted?
No, I do not. Jeff Ross.
The Tom Brady getting up. You don't feel like that was.
No, he did not. No.
No. That was mad.
He definitely got up and said to Jeff Ross, enough of that.
How do you not think that's not going to happen in a roast
with
Robert Kraft?
Nothing's out of bounds.
Mason and I have both been roasted, like the subjects of roasts. We emceed each other's roasts. And it's actually, if you go into it with like nothing's out of bounds and you just laugh at it, you get through it.
Yeah, it was super fun.
I liked it. Okay, so I have two thoughts about the roast last night. I thought one person came out of this so much better than everybody else that this person is going to get opportunities for the next 2 years to be a star.
Okay, let me take a shot.
Yeah.
Nikki Glaser.
100%.
Yeah.
She was amazing. She was amazing.
She's already a star.
No.
She's got a comedy special on HBO right now.
I'm talking she's going to get her own show now. I mean, this is – she was so unbelievably good.
Yeah, that's her lane.
She's on F-Boy Island.
Yeah, well, she hosts it, right?
That's true.
Yeah, she's a host.
Yeah, and but
– she killed it.
To the point when she looked at her boyfriend and she goes, that's my boyfriend. We've been dating for 10 years. I love him to death. I'm telling you right now, I would shoot – he looks right at him and goes – I would shoot you in the face in exchange for a lottery ticket to have oral sex with Tom Brady. And it was like, what? And then she just went off after that.
She was great. Belichick, I thought, was a surprisingly good roaster.
Yeah, I thought he was good.
So Belichick is my answer to that thing was such a success. Belichick is my answer to one of two people who I think would be ideal for the next roast.
I got another one.
Let's see if you bid the same one as me.
He'd never do it, but it's who I'd like to see in that chair.
You want them
squirmed.
To guess?
Yeah.
Think
Jordan?
Of icon.
Jordan.
Icon.
Jordan would be great. It's not who I'm thinking of.
Huh. Tiger.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Tiger.
Tiger
because
would be
think of the material
amazing.
On Tiger.
But you said he would never do it?
Not in a million years.
I think he might do it. I think you're surprised. Oh. Like, people that know Tiger say that he's, like, super funny and super self-deprecating. And now that his brand has already been blown up, what does he have to lose?
I hope so, but he still never – what you're talking about is all – private that mm-hmm. guys that know him say he's one of the guys that he is self-deprecating. You never get a glimpse of it. He's mildly self-deprecating about his golf game right now,
right?
But he's never been self-deprecating about how he blew up his life.
So there was someone there last night that I think is a candidate for the next roast that would be perfect. Okay. Any you guys want to guess?
An athlete?
I think the material Peyton. would be so funny.
Peyton.
No, he's been roasted.
Okay.
Peyton's been roasted.
Who is it?
Kim Kardashian.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just think of the material that would come at her.
You know.
And when she did SNL,
like
she was fine.
Her whole act was making fun of herself.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time
Although
I hear
when,
her
when,
talk, which isn't often,
yeah.
I like her a little more.
She's very smart.
I think
she's
so,
very
too.
Smart.
I think so, too.
Mason doesn't remember this, but she's been on our show twice.
No, have no recollection. Like, they even play the tape for me. I'm like,
Mike,
I don't
time
think
he
that
me,
happened.
Goes, that 100% ever happened. I go, I'll bet you $5,000 mythical money right now. He goes, I'll bet you any amount you want. I go, I would bet you 100.
You don't remember that?
Then they played the Kim Kardashian interview.
And then they played the tape
interview.
With
like,
Mason asking her questions. He goes, I have no recollection
I have no recollection of that. None.
I thought the joke she made about her dad at the OJ trial was terrific.
Fantastic.
Although
terrific.
She gave Brady when
After that one joke?
When Brady said, Kim Kardashian's here tonight, and she's a little nervous because she left her kids at home with her ex-husband.
Yeah, that's good.
And she
that
was like, good. Don't come after my kids.
The whole place broke out. The whole place broke out.
It was very funny.
Pretty good night.
Yeah,
I had very low expectations.
Me too.
And it was terrific.
Matter of fact, when I turned it on, I thought, I'm going to watch it for 20 minutes just so I can talk about it tomorrow. And I watched all 3 hours.
So I did not see all 3 hours. Emily texted me this morning. She's like, did you see it? I'm like, I saw a couple of clips. And so she sent me. I'm going to go back and check the whole thing.
Funny stuff.
It was really well done. Super Crosstalk is brought to you by In-N-Out. In-N-Out. That's what a hamburger's all about.